Thank you. I'm a little flummy today, folks. I apologize. Well, I am back in some capacity. I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with my radio history. Don't Google me. Don't know where I'm from. I'm a brand new face. Fresh meat. Off the plane from... Well, I've lived many places. But lastly, before Florida, it was Detroit. The godforsaken city of Detroit, Michigan. What a hellhole that is, folks. Not a fan. Not a fan at all. But very grateful. Very grateful. Because when I was there... Listen, I'm from San Diego. I know good weather. I lived in Santa Barbara. That is my alma mater is UC Santa Barbara. Go Gauchos. Then I'm just giving you a brief, you know, overview of my life. Then moved to Sydney, Australia. What? Why? I don't know. For S and giggles. That was why. And then I went to graduate school in Detroit, Michigan. Two thumbs way, way down. Not a fan. But overall, I am very grateful for my time in Detroit, mostly because it gave me perspective to know that it was unusual that I had lived in many places, all with wonderful weather, beaches, beautiful sand, cool weather. And then I moved to Detroit, Michigan, which there were no beaches. Well, I was taken to a beach, and the beach that I'm doing is now in quotes, air quotes, because it was a lake. And I remember my good friend Elise at the time. She takes me to this, quote, beach, and she's like, let's sit on the sand. And we sat on the sand, and the sand was gravel. And I let her know. I go, this is actually not sand. This is gravel, and that is not a beach to me, because that's a dirty lake. It was a dirty reservoir lake with gravel. And she thought it was a beach, and I felt very, very sorry for her. But anyways, spent four years in Detroit, Michigan, and then I found my way to St. Petersburg, Florida, where I live now. Well, I've moved out of St. Petersburg, but close enough. Pinellas County, folks. So very, very grateful to be in Florida, and I'm very grateful for my time in Michigan, Detroit. Although I am very grateful that I no longer live there. So I guess that's a long-winded way of me telling you that is where I'm from, okay? I've done a few years, and by a few I mean 8 years, in the Tampa talk radio hot talk sphere. Again, don't Google me. Don't go through my history. There's nothing to see. There's truly nothing to see. I'm here now, and that is all that matters. Now, on the show that I will be doing, how often, I don't know. It may be twice a month. It may then migrate to once a week. And then hopefully, maybe one day, we can be going multiple times a week on Radio St. Pete. That is Ideal Sunshine, 96.7 FM. But, you know, we're going to cover the election. We're going to cover the Trump. We're going to cover the Biden. We're going to cover everything in between. The migrants, the inflation, the failing economy, gas prices, all of the things that people love to get upset about, we're going to talk about it. But I must talk about what is on my mind, and what is on my mind is the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef, okay? Listen, most of the time when I'm researching things or looking things up online, it revolves around, I don't know, the Kennedy assassination, cholesterol, the war in the Middle East, Hamas. Those are just a few things that have occupied my time recently. But every now and again, I indulge in some saucy, spicy, you know, pop culture shenanigans, okay? And I've heard a lot about this Kendrick Lamar, Drake beef, or I've heard it referenced, the beef, but whenever I ask someone, like, well, what is that about? You know, they kind of go, well, it's a long story. And I go, you know what? Save it. Save your breath. I don't want to hear about it. But today, on my way over here, I had a half an hour to kill while I was in the car. And I thought, you know what? There was a video entitled The Drake Lamar, Drake Kendrick Lamar Beef Explained. I go, you know what? Let me just tune into this and find out what this beef is all about. And I spent 27 minutes of my time in the car today listening to this man, who is a stand-up comedian, explaining from the beginning what this was all about. And basically, it ended with me realizing that I have been shaking my caboose to a new song that came out by Kendrick Lamar called Not Like Us, okay? Great tune. You know, very, it's upbeat. It makes me want to dance. But it's about Drake being a pedophile. So, does that mean I can't dance to it anymore? I don't know. But I think I still might. I looked up the lyrics while I was walking into the building because I was like, I've been listening to this. But you know when you listen to a song, but you don't really listen to the song? You're like, you know, you're dancing, you're just singing the chorus, but you're not really realizing what you're singing. So I looked up the lyrics and I said, me, oh my. Me, oh my. Drake might be a sexual predator, which makes me super sad because I'm a massive Drake fan. I'm a massive Aubrey Graham, that's his real name, fan, okay? Why, you ask? Is it because his music is so great? That's part of it. Certainly part of it. I know, I'm big on playing Drake on the way home. It's nighttime, you know, you got, you're bumping, you're just kind of grooving. Drake's always in his feels, which I like because guess what? I'm always in my feels. So there's some congruence there. But the thing I like the most about Drake, and I hate to say this because I'm not a big fan of identity politics, but Drake made being Jewish cool, okay? For those that don't know, Drake is not from the hood. He's not from the projects. He's not from Baltimore. He's not from Harlem. He's not from South Central LA. He's not from any of those places, okay? He's from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, okay? He grew up, he was on Degrassi, for those that maybe remember, as the, I think he was a kid in a wheelchair. I never watched it. It was a show I didn't watch. But I did after I found out who Drake was. I'm like, oh my God, he's been on TV this whole time. I didn't know. But he was kind of like this dorky kid that played a handicapped kid in a wheelchair. Anyways, Drake gets famous. I find out, oh my God, he was raised Jewish. This is awesome. Because for those that don't know, you know, listen, and I am a Jewish person. I probably should have said that because everyone at this point thinks I'm an anti-Semite. I am not. I myself was raised Jewish. I myself was bat mitzvahed. I myself was actually born in the Holy Land. Yes, I was born in Israel in a place called Kfar Saba. That's where I was born in May of 1987. All right. So I myself am an immigrant. I am a Jew. So I can say, I can speak to a lot of these things. Now, when I found out Drake was Jewish, I'm like, this is amazing because there's not a lot of Jews in pop culture that really kind of are cool. You know, they maybe handle the back end of things, maybe business, maybe the media. Some people say, I don't know, I'm not those people. I'm just saying what people say. You know, maybe the finances, perhaps. I don't know. But Drake was the front man of being cool, of culture, of rap, of pretty boy, you know, music. And I was like, no way, this guy's not Jewish. I, in fact, did a full book report on this person. He, in fact, was Jewish. His mom is a white Jewish lady from Canada. I believe his dad is a black man from, I want to say, Tennessee. Somehow they met. I don't know how, but they did. And they had a child. And thank God that they did, because I love Drake. He's amazing. So yes, I went back. I looked through the Googles. I found pictures of Drake at his bar mitzvah. I went, no effing way. This is incredible. This is something I've been waiting for my whole life. I remember when Matisse Yahoo made it big, who was like a reggae musician, okay? I don't know if I'd call him a rapper, but when he got big, that was awesome. But he was a Hasidic Jew. So there was only so much he could really do. You know, you still got the hat. You still got the, you know, maybe the yarmulke. I think it's called the peyote. You got the little curly things at the front. You know, he couldn't dress like a normal person. He had to wear his Hasidic gear. And I'm like, well, that's cool. But also, you know, there's a ceiling to this, Where with Drake, there was no ceiling. He was the coolest man in the room, and he was a Jew. And I was like, oh, hell yes. So anyways, I've recently found out that there's a possibility that he may have been, I don't know, a pedophile. Will I still continue to listen to his music? Yes. Do I still love Drake? Yes. Do I like Kendrick Lamar? Not really. I mean, he's a great musician, sure. He's pulled some tricks that I don't agree with. He's baited people into humiliating themselves on stage. And at that point, I kind of lost all respect for him, okay? For those that don't know what I'm referring to, I believe there was a situation where he pulled a white girl on stage and he asked her to sing along to his lyrics while he was performing a song on stage. The girl complied and sang a song that had the N-word in it. Not a great word, but Kendrick wrote it in his lyrics and was performing them live on stage. And the girl did not censor herself. As a white young girl, probably maybe around 22 years old, she just sang the song as it was written. And she was humiliated. She was ridiculed. She was called a racist. Can you even imagine that, folks? Called a racist when you paid for a ticket. You're on stage with your favorite musician singing a song. What a dream. What a dream. And you're singing the song as it was written. You're not censoring it because it's art, right? And she sings the song. She drops the N-bomb. And she just gets blasted online, social media. How could you do this? You racist, da-da-da. And in my estimation, I believe that Kendrick Lamar had set her up. He purposely picked her out of the audience. He knew the mistake she was going to make. She made the mistake, if you can even call it a mistake, and embarrassed her in front of thousands of people at his concert and millions more online. At that point, I said, I'm done with Kendrick Lamar. Not really, but I mean, you know, in the moment, I'm like, this guy sucks. What a jerk. Well, why would he do that? Why would he humiliate this woman when she was only doing what she was, you know, instructed to do, which was sing along to the song? So I was always, you know, Team Drake from the get. You know, again, big fan of his music. So apparently, Kendrick Lamar drops this new album and this song called Not Like Us, which I've been grooving and moving to. And this morning, on my way over here, I realized it was actually all about Drake and how he's a pedophile. So that makes me super sad. Am I going to still listen to the song? Absolutely. Do I still love Drake, even though he's been accused of some heinous crimes? Absolutely. I am a person that can separate the music from the artist, okay? I love R. Kelly. Not the person, but R. Kelly had some pipes, okay? Probably still does. Can't sing too much in prison these days and record a new album, but he is a phenomenal singer, okay? I Believe I Can Fly. I mean, do we remember this song from the 90s? Incredible. Ignition, remix to Ignition. Still bump it. But you can't play R. Kelly anymore. You can't play R. Kelly anymore. Otherwise, you get called, you know, you're a sympathizer, you're a supporter. No, man, I just like good music, okay? Do I still listen to Michael Jackson? Absolutely. Obviously. He had some great hits. Do we remember Thriller? Phenomenal. Fantastic. For some reason, we've forgiven Michael Jackson. I feel like much of the community who enjoys music, hip-hop music, R&B music, whatever, they've by and large forgiven Michael Jackson. They're like, he's too big to fail, I guess. He's like the Federal Reserve. He's too big to fail. So whatever, we're still going to listen to his music, even though he was raping little boys for years. No problem. R. Kelly does it, but maybe gets a bit more creative. Not little boys, but little girls. Gets creative with a video involving a 14-year-old and some urination. Okay, that's just what I've heard. Have I seen it? Absolutely not. But we hate R. Kelly. We still love Michael Jackson. Okay. I love Chris Brown. Did he hit Rihanna in the face? Yes. Is that nice? No. But I think he might be my favorite artist of all time, Chris Brown. I've argued even that he's more talented than Michael Jackson, and that's probably my most controversial thing I've ever said. My most controversial statement is not about any politician or climate change or, we'll just call it, Schmovid, but my most controversial opinion is that Chris Brown is more talented than Michael Jackson ever was. That's probably what I will say. But yeah, did he commit a heinous act where he punched Rihanna in the face? Yeah. But unlike most people, I like to dig a little bit deeper. I go, what was the reason for this? And when I found out, I went, not good, but I kind of get it. Rihanna maybe was punching him first, scratching his demo CDs that he only had one copy of that he spent years recording in a studio, threw those out the window, threw his keys out the window, punching him in the face. And unfortunately, you know, he retaliated. Do I still love Chris Brown? Absolutely. Well, that's all for now. Thank you for listening to The Anna Hummel Show, and I'll talk to you soon.